Too cool. See our young people hanging with the leaders, having fun, encouraged in the joy of Jesus, and stretching in our understanding and experience of Him. Always good to be with you. I'm Todd, one of the pastors here at RCC. Now, a reminder, there's a meeting coming up immediately, and we're going to do it quickly after the second service. We're in a search process for a lead pastor. The elders have heard from you and have happily modified that process. Hopefully you got something in the email, but we want to discuss that here after the second service. This is a picture of a men's breakfast yesterday. There were about 70 of us. Pete McKenzie is standing up front, did an outstanding job sharing about how Jesus had encouraged him in his walk and how he came to faith. And there were about 7 of us, and man alive, pancakes, bacon, eggs, and sausage. To those of you guys who prepared it, thank you very much. It was a great morning together as guys. Now, from that to this morning, we're talking about fasting. Now, our hope, we're 4 weeks away from Easter. Our hope is that for everybody here, this is the best Good Friday, the most meaningful Good Friday, and the happiest Easter ever. So Keith introduced the idea. We're taking a short break this week from Ephesians, inviting everyone here to fast for 4 Mondays preceding Easter. Now, some of you are thinking, Todd, talking on fasting, you have some sense of how much I love food. I mean, I love God, and He created us to be happy. He's omnipotent, omniscient. Think of all the ways He could have figured out to give us nourishment, and yet what way did He figure out? Eating. Man, He's good. And some of you are thinking, as much as Todd likes eating, this is about like an Amish person talking about artificial intelligence. You know, Jeff Bezos talking about the simple life. I actually have some experience with fasting after it came to faith. Longest personal spiritual fast for me was 6 days. Now, some of you are somewhat familiar with Lent, kind of a semi-formal, maybe formal, church preparation for Easter, 40 days, likely rooted in the 40-day fast of Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament and a 40-day fast of Jesus. We're not trying to formally start anything like that. We're trying to offer an opportunity for greater joy. I've met people, it feels like to me, as they prepare for this holiday, some who experience Lent, who feels like to me they have this conviction that God gets glory out of us being miserable. If we just can induce some pain in our life and make ourselves hurt, God gets glory. That has nothing to do with what we're inviting you into. I love food. What we're going to be talking about is giving up something good for a while for something better. Something we enjoy, we're going to set it aside for a little bit to experience something even more meaningful. And if I haven't mentioned it or you haven't figured it out, I really like food. We want to talk about the reward, not the pain. Might there be some discomfort involved? Yes. We're talking about this for the joy that exceeds the discomfort. Now, there's not a lot written about fasting. Commanded in a few places in the Old Testament, not in the New. There's just not a lot on it. And just think about how much food is a part of our culture. I don't think folks in Jesus' day could have imagined DoorDash, drive-through windows. The food that's available to us would have been beyond their comprehension. But here's what Jesus says. And when you fast, nowhere commanded, but it's assumed it was part of the culture then. Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and that their fasting may be seen by others. Commanded, these Pharisees are practicing it, but they're doing it so that they look more godly and more spiritual. That's not the point. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. They've been noticed by people, that's why they did it. That's not what this discipline is about. Second time then, though, he says, but when you fast, he's assuming they will. Anoint your head and wash your face. I don't believe this has any spiritual implications. What he's saying here is, we would say, like any other morning, get up, take a shower, and brush your teeth. Don't do anything that would draw attention to this. That's what he's saying. Just do your normal day. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Now, what's he reward you with? A deeper experience of him. That's the reward. Father, I pray as we talk here a little bit, as I talk, that you'll encourage us in your grace and in your love. Don't allow any of us to feel guilty of maybe not practicing more. Father, I pray that you'd protect us from that. But I pray you'd give us glimpses and increased pictures of the reward. May our motivation be just more of the reward that Jesus promises. That's my request, Father. And I pray as we move through these Mondays and through these weeks, oh, Father, fill us with yourself. And I pray for everyone here assembled, for those watching online, for anybody connected with RCC, make this the most meaningful and joy-filled Good Friday and Easter of our lives. That's what we're asking for. So as you motivate us and move us, oh, Father, make us confident you're going to deliver on that promise and on that reward. Because you will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the benefit that goes and accompanies going hungry? Now, if for physical reasons you shouldn't fast, don't. If there are physical reasons that put you in a place where you would be physically unhealthy by not eating, then don't. Please don't. Don't put yourself at risk. I see two sides to this benefit and this reward. So here's the first side. Fasting, going without food, helps us identify some of those hungers in our lives. I just think we're less attentive than we could be to some of those things that draw our attention and diminish our joy in Jesus. Life is busy and we got a bunch of stuff going on. We see ourselves more accurately. So I didn't fast growing up. It wasn't a part of my heritage. Once I came to faith and I read Jesus when he says, when you fast, I decided, hey, I'm going to give this a shot. Now, some of you guys have heard that word hangry. You know where that reference is? My wife used to suggest when I was on a fast that it would be a good day to spend more time at the office. And for a long time, I believed this. Fasting makes me angry and impatient. It took me a few fasts before God eventually got my attention and helped me understand fasting wasn't making me angry or impatient at all. All it was doing was revealing what was in there. For me, that was very helpful. Would I have said that I have a tendency towards impatience and anger before fasting? Yes. I came to realize it was more a part of who I was than I would have liked. Now, some of you who are knowing me going, ooh, I'm glad I didn't know him before he figured that out. It helps us identify the greedy appetites that are part of our life more clearly. Now, if you're part of RCC regularly, you know our conviction is God created us to be happy. And that's a good thing. And how many things does he create to have us be happy? They are limitless. There's never been a culture in the history of the world that has as many baubles and toys and things to make them happy as our culture right now. Neil Postman, amusing ourselves to death. There is so much stuff out there. Back in Jesus' day, they couldn't imagine the toys we have today, the vacations we can take today. They're limitless. The delights there are in this world that God gave us to enjoy. I think the challenge becomes, sometimes those things become more attractive than they ought to be. And we end up being duped into believing they're going to provide more joy than they ever can. There's no one like Jesus. I love that first song. Did you catch it? The music usually fits with the sermon of the day. You catch that stuff? There's no one like Jesus. We sing it from our hearts and with our voices, and then we go home. But then we got football. Then we got Netflix. Then we got to go to the beach. All good things. The challenge becomes, though, what are those things that maybe have a little tighter hold of us than we realize? I think, like, the Bible fits together. And Paul in Ephesians went from 1 through 3, we're loved by God, we're loved by God, we're loved by God, to 4, 5, and 6. Here's how people who understand they're loved by God live. Now, why do you think he writes chapters 4, 5, and 6 and talks about putting off and putting on to people who have already experienced the love of Christ? Because they're wrestling with the very same thing we are. The attractiveness of the things of the world hasn't completely evaporated. The good things that God put in our life for us to enjoy, sometimes we just tend to enjoy them too much. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of the heart before they saw the truth of Jesus. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learn Christ. That's who you used to be, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, what are the things that can grab us more than they should? Good things, they're limitless. You know how many things I'm tempted by in a regular day? Let me tell you one of them still, food. I'm fighting it. I've been fighting it ever since I figured out that it had a control over me I didn't want it to have. How many of you remember the name Steve Jobs? He said this would change the world, the way we do life. I remember him saying it. I had no idea what kind of prophet he was. I get to talk to Femi in Kosovo, and we can FaceTime on this thing. You talk about a tool for good. Julie and I will be out to dinner, and I watch families sit at a table and not say one word to one another. They're sitting there eating, all of them looking at their phones. So we're talking primarily about food today. But I'd encourage some of us to think about, and that's where fasting and food can come from. Hey, Lord, reveal some of those other things that maybe control me as well. Again, the thing with food is you got to eat it. No kidding. It would be easier for me to stop eating than to fight it every day. Oh, I'm getting some texts from people. You want to know who they're from, what they say? That's the reality of life. And fasting allows us to identify some of those things. Johnny did a great job last week with the text in chapter 5. Still the theme here, do you remember? Live like children of light, not like darkness. He gave some quotes about pornography. I don't know if you remember the money that's being made. I read an article. You know the average age that a young boy in America now gets exposed to hardcore pornography? Anybody want to guess? 11 is the article. I was talking to some people, and they had read some things where they're suggesting 8. In the article I read, they talked about when I was growing up, if some of you guys remember the name Playboy. I remember a fifth grade buddy of mine watching a neighbor's house, and he invited me over, and there were Playboys in the basement. I didn't even know why I liked it at that age. But one of those things that got started for me with Playboy. They were talking about Playboys are fairly innocuous compared to what our young boys are being introduced to today. You want to talk about a pandemic? You think this doesn't have impact for kids as they're growing up? You got young kids. I encourage you strongly, know what they're looking at on their phones and try to have some sense of what they're looking at when they go to their friends. They talked about pornography, and he did a great job talking about the appeal of darkness, because we're all looking for joy. The appeal of darkness is you get joy right now, and you get immediate feedback at the cost of long-term joy. If you're married and wrestling with that, I guarantee you it's going to be diminishing the intimacy that God intended you experiencing with your spouse. The appeal of light is that those urges that motivate some to go there, they're from God. They're just looking in the wrong place. The urges are for an intimacy that God designed us to have, and he designed this relationship called marriage in which to enjoy them. And folks who see the light, they go, oh, I'm going to the light. And there's an appeal to darkness, but the appeal to the light is so much greater. Why would I go to the darkness when I could go to the light? We're encouraging you to fast. Get a clearer sense of who we are. Get a clearer sense of some of those greedy things that have us. Encourage us to identify some of those things that we want to put off. Why? For the greater joy. For the greater happiness. That's why we do it. Now, how many of the people in this room and online do you think I think are wrestling with this stuff? What percentage? 100. And if you're one of those that thinks you're not wrestling, I'd love to visit with you. I'm pretty sure in 3 questions, I might be able to identify something. This is the journey of faith. It's why Paul writes chapters 4, 5, and 6. Well, however many that is, 6. There we go. Get the right numbers up there. You all set? Oh, yeah. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God and the true religion. So for the second service people, don't tell them I forgot to put this up here. I read it all at once. You guys are with me here? I'm trusting you with some confidentiality. And part of what this allows us to do is then experience the intensity of our old cravings a little more honestly once we've identified them. Try going without your phone for a couple hours. How's it go? How strong is the urge? How well do you do? I think we may be surprised how hard it is to give. Alcohol. I don't know what it is you struggle with. I think it's helpful. Try going without it. Huh. Is it easy to give up? Or not so easy? That's part of this. Now we're going to jump to the positive side, seeing the light. Fasting enhances the joy experienced in increasing, deepening communion with God. We begin to happily deny the appetites which control us. So, roughly 30 years ago, my mother-in-law, who oversaw special education for the city of St. Paul, and my wife, who's a special ed teacher, diagnosed me with ADD. My mother-in-law was looking at my son, goes, I think you had ADD, you might want to consider some medication. I said, will you give me some articles on ADD? I'd love to read them. She gave me 5 or 6 articles. I read them all, and I went, well, I think he has it. I think I might have it, too. And I went to my mother-in-law and go, do you think I could have ADD? She said, think I know. Went to my wife, do you think I could have ADD? And I go, I think I know. They use the exact same words. I'm like, I thought you were kidding me all these years. I had a good buddy 35 years ago that gave me a book on adrenaline addiction. I still remember 2 of the examples in there. When you've got an appointment, you always wait to the last minute because you love hurrying to get there. You have company coming over. You just can't sit there and relax. You got to be busy doing something. These things were so helpful for me. Now, I'm an adrenaline junkie. Ron and Carol Fell, we're having lunch with them. They just moved to Texas. If you're watching this morning, hi to all you online. Ron and Carol, nice to see you. And Carol, we're having lunch a week before they moved, and they go, well, you have ADD. I'm like, how do you know? You're the only, the third person in my life that said it. She goes, well, when I heard you preach. Now, she's a school teacher. It's part of what's in me. There's a physiological component. Then there's also a sinful component to that for me. My fix is activity. That's what my fix is. I think it allows me to accomplish a fair bit. We can pursue our joy. The other side of that, I'm going to call it killing the pain. Where do we go when there's that emptiness in our heart? Pursuing the joy and also avoiding the pain. Shopping. Buying things, how I can tell I'm getting down there and the whole, I want to buy something. It's not my nature. When I really want to buy something, I'm empty because it's just not the general way I'm wired. That's a sign I'm getting a little more empty. But once you figure this out, you can start to deal with it. Love activity. When I was younger, this is up in Seattle days, Have I ever talked about playing golf? Has that come up ever in a sermon? I used to play in the 70s, never in the 80s. And no, it wasn't because I was in the 90s. It was because I was in the 70s. Adrenaline, sports, a lot of my fixes. I was playing two or three times of the week with four young kids and a wife at home. Some 25 years ago, I quit. I fasted from golf for about 2 years. Did I miss it? Yeah. Why? Because I was after something so much better, time with my wife and kids. I was missing time with my wife and kids. I was doing something fun when there was something better. I play golf a lot less now. I don't hit the ball and score as well. And it's significantly more fun. I don't need it to fix that hole in my life like I used to need. As we start to identify this stuff, we can start to deal with it. Oh, man! Some of us, here's my fear. You're going to go to the identification. You're going to go, oh, I'm a loser. God, hey, don't go there. Here's where we go. God, you give me a clear view. What's wrong? It's like going to the doctor and he says, hey, here's what's wrong with you. Here's how you fix it. The fixing it is Jesus. So no beating ourselves up about anything. Just see what it is. Recognize it. And then start to deal with it. We take more time in direct communion with God. That's what this is about, these four Mondays. That's our hope for everybody here. However much time you're committing to really sitting with Jesus, you're going to get more of it. Be still and know that I am God. I read that some 40 years ago, and I'm going to tell you, the way I'm wired, I would have much preferred him to say, be busy and know that he is God. Even food for me is not as big a temptation as the doing something by eating is. When I start to get that hole in my life, I just get busier because I don't have to feel that hole quite as much. I'm at a church visiting years ago, went to the gift store, and this is there. I've been fighting this now for about 35 years, I've been aware of it. You guys want to guess what the hardest thing in my life is? What do you think is the hardest thing in my life? You want to know the best thing in my life? Be still. Do I feel like a hypocrite trying to get you all to be still? I solved that one about 35 years ago. I am who I am. This is my biggest fight. I'm 65. I'm doing better. My biggest fight every day is to be still. Why don't we do better at this as a church? Why isn't fasting more of a practice? My sense is because we've not experienced the reward as much as we could. Now, you're talking to a guy that's been fighting this for at least 35 years consciously. This sits in my office on my shelf where I can see it every time I take my eyes up off my desk. It's a reminder. I can't tell you how many times a day. Has it solved everything? And tell you what my temptation is when I'm looking for joy. Figure out something to go do. Be busy. Be still and know that I am God. And we have an experienced, expanding presence of his love. This verse, I've never claimed a life verse, but if I claim that I have one, this is it. Started reading the New Testament, and I realized Jesus is about joy, Jesus is about joy, Jesus is about joy. And then some years later, I read this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence. I wish he'd have said being busy for me. There is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In that communion. So do I experience that with Jesus? I do. Start my mornings. Got a couple of passages in the Old Testament, a couple of passages in the New Testament. Nothing to do with any sort of preparation for anything. I just sit and try to sit with God. Is it always easy for me? I start by watching about 20 minutes of news because I can't just begin my day. I actually have to be busy for a few minutes, occupy my mind before I can get to a place where, if you'll allow me, I can slow down after I wake up. Do we believe it? Mary and Martha. Remember, Jesus comes to their house, and Martha is ticked because she's working serving Jesus. She's ticked at Jesus. Jesus, will you help me? Tell Mary to get off her teaster and come help me. And Jesus says to Mary, and Martha, Mary's actually got the good part. Nothing like it, sitting with Jesus. I was talking with a couple of buddies this week, and they go, yeah, but it's harder because he's not physically in the room. Got it. I'm with you. I think in some ways it presents some challenges. Oh, but he's there. It's why for me, reading his words, and I read from the Gospels every day because I actually like to hear specifically the voice of Jesus, and don't hear me saying he's not inspiring the Old Testament authors. Don't hear me say that, but I actually like he was a really smart dude. This Jesus guy, he lived and talked in a way that fills my heart. And that connection with him, it's so special. For the kingdom of God, a relationship with Jesus is not of eating and drinking. If it was eating and drinking, I would be there. Everybody saying eating and drinking can't be a part of the process and part of this. Again, food is such a big thing. It just helps us to talk with folks. But the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what this is about. And that's what we're hoping you all experience more of in the next 4 weeks. Can you hardly wait to get more of this in the next 4 weeks? More reward, more joy. Oh, the benefits of going hungry are eternal. But yes, there will be some discomfort. Unless you have health reasons, we're going to encourage you to participate. So for Monday, seriously consider that greatest reward. By that I mean, I hope you get to the place where you're saying, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. If you've not done it, start slowly. Start easily. But then happily devote yourself. What we're encouraging is 4 Mondays between now and Easter. You're not limited. You may do whatever you'd like. Food, something else. For most of us, I'd encourage some fasting from this on some degree. Or Netflix. Whatever it is. Where do you go when you got that emptiness? I know people that don't ever like to be home without the TV on. Okay. Why? Take some time and, Lord, help me understand. So you got in your worship folder this. You'll get one every Sunday for the next 4 weeks. And that's what it says. And these are just prompts. If you're just experiencing pain from not eating, go ahead and eat. We're hoping that we might actually fill that time with a little more focus on Jesus. Make us a little more sensitive. You know, the times when I've stopped eating sugar, I can't believe how good fruit tastes. We just get desensitized. I'd like to say the same thing about vegetables, but that would cross my line of integrity. And for the record, I've been fasting from cauliflower for years. For those of you who think I haven't ever fasted from food, cauliflower has never touched these lips. You talk about discipline, I am unbelievably disciplined. I encourage you to read Genesis 1 in the morning. Spend some time appreciating that God has created everything you experience. If you can, go outside and look around. And you got an afternoon and an evening. That's our encouragement. We are joy pursuers around here. We are reward pursuers. I don't want you to do anything for the pain. Nothing. It's opposed to, I think, the way God designed us. But seeing the light is oftentimes setting aside those things with immediate pleasure for the deeper pleasure. Who does that? People who see the truth of Jesus, people who have experienced the light. Do we do it perfectly? No. We're in a fight. Does Satan want us to have the happiest Easter we've ever had? No. Jesus does. We get to be part of this process. So, Lord, work in our hearts, work in our minds. I pray that these next few weeks would be filled for all of us with a greater sensitivity, a greater awareness, a greater appreciation, a greater experience of your love. That's what we want, Father. Help us just to experience it a little more fully. Thanks for all these delights you've put in this world for our enjoyment. God, you have been so stinking generous. Help us to enjoy them in the way you intended. But may our eyes and our hearts always be fixed firmly on you. You are the light. You are the love. You are our joy.